This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Brava.
So, last week we began with a series, and I think this is going to be a short one, and it is titled Aspects of Faith, and this is part two, and part two is titled How Faith Actually Comes. I was wrestling with that subtitle, but I thought that'll be probably the one that'll make the most sense based on what I want to share with you today. So, Aspects of Faith and How Faith Actually Comes. All right, now, when we say faith, or when I say faith, most think of their belief system. You know, the one that they've chosen to follow in terms of their spirituality. And so, you know, if you go out and just speak to people at the, you know, at the supermarket or wherever you go, or just have a conversation with anyone, and you'll say, you know, so tell me about your faith. Tell me about faith. Most people relate it to either the religion or, you know, what faith they've chosen to follow. That's one way. Now, most Christians, most people in Christendom, or should I say believers, when we talk about faith, the majority of Christendom sees it as something that they do in order to get a favorable response from God. So they have a legalistic view of it. That's most people in Christendom. If you ask them, tell me about your faith, tell me about faith, they'll say, well, it's the things that I do, it's the things that I get engaged in that gets me results from God, that gets God to do things for me. He has His promises, but I have to use my faith to bring them into my reality. I have to perform, I have to do certain things, I have to engage in, I have to work it in order for it to work for me. That's what most people say. And of course, we are seeing, and hopefully starting last week, we have seen that that's not quite God's design. He didn't tell us to fight for faith. He told us to fight the fight of the faith. Amen. And so Christians also see faith as something that they are to grow in and develop in order to experience godly results in their lives. So you'll often hear, or you'll have specialized ministries that focus on just faith. And I think, you know, some people call it the faith movement, some people don't like calling it a movement, but really there was a faith move, if you will, in Christendom, where for a very long time, the emphasis was faith, growing in your faith, growing your faith, using your faith, and the whole thing was very, or is still, very legalistic driven. You perform in faith, you grow in your faith, and you do the things of faith so that you can see the results of faith. And as we have seen, that's not quite God's design for faith. Faith is simply our positive response to what God has already provided for us in and through Jesus by His grace. So He gives it to us by grace. We simply receive it by grace. So it's not a matter of performance or anything like that. So it's a different mindset to a great degree. And so, if someone has a legalistic view of faith, then the pressure is on growing and increasing in faith, which is why we have specialized ministries, specialized ministers, specialized teaching that just focuses on that, and in my opinion, sway away from what the gospel truth should be about. Remember last week I shared with you how Paul set the parameters for the gospel that he shared, and it's basically Jesus and the finished work of the cross. Period. That's it. Amen. Based on the legalistic take that I'm talking about, if you were to ask them, how does then faith come? How do we grow in faith? How do we increase in faith? They will tell you, are you guessing it? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. In other words, the Bible. And so they'll tell you, the more time you spend in that book, the more time you meditate on it, the more your faith will grow, the more you will increase in faith. Now, there's some truth to that, because if you know, if we don't grow familiar with the things of God, we're not going to get to know more about God. But to say that that is how faith comes, and that's how we grow, that we need to grow and develop in faith, well, those are the things we're going to challenge today. Remember I said last week, in the series, we're going to challenge the status quo. Now, I want to encourage you to stay with us and listen to the whole thing. Don't just shut it off right now because you don't agree with something or you think this may be heresy. It is not, I assure you. I believe that through the teaching, we will prove the case to you. But you need to have an open heart. Because, you know, one thing that I found is that we as people have a tendency to hear with a filter of what we believe. You know, I heard someone once say, you know, when you read the Bible, believe what you read. Don't read what you believe. If you were to ask, in general, someone in Christendom, how then do you grow and increase in faith? They will say to you, well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. And the interpretation of that is you need to be in the Word. That's how you'll increase. And then that's how you'll get results. Well, what if I told you, and I'm going to prove it to you today, I'm going to show you scripture. What if I told you that faith is something that happens to you? What would your reaction be? Faith is something that happens to you. Let me prove that to you. Let's begin the journey. Romans 10:17. Let's look at that. We've been talking about it. We might as well read it. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Like I said, most have been taught that what this means is that faith comes and grows as we spend time in God's Word. Is that really what this is saying? I'm going to challenge and prove it to you today that it's not. Now, if we go with that typical or traditional interpretation, then the implication is that faith is something we do and growing to get God to do something for us. And that's the essence of how people define it and see it. So that puts a responsibility on us, on the believer, for not only getting more faith, growing in faith, but also applying faith. And then they will hopefully see results. Doesn't that just sound very legalistic? Doesn't that just sound like being back under the law before the cross, where we have to perform in order to get? Is that how God designed it? And is that what God is saying here? Well, let's see if that's how that should be understood. Now, in order to understand this verse, Romans 10:17, remember that everything written in the Bible is written with a greater context. When I say everything, I'm talking about verses. So if you look at a verse, just because it's got a verse number, it doesn't mean that you can take it out of context, make a doctrine out of it, and all of a sudden you have something and you have these principles and this supposed revelation, and you think, well, praise God, we've got something to work with here now. You can't take things out of context. Remember, I always say to you as a church family, there are three things you always have to apply when you spend time in the Word, when you read the Word, when you're trying to understand the Word, when you're studying the Word, when you are just reading the Word. Number one, you have to read everything in context. Don't take verses out of context and make doctrines or understand certain things about them. Read it in context. Secondly, let the Bible interpret the Bible. Where else do we see this principle? Where else do we see this truth? And see what else it says. Put it all together and you'll get a clear picture. And thirdly, which is probably most importantly, we need to see everything through the lens of the finished work of the cross. Because that entire book is about redemption in Jesus by God's grace. So we need to see everything through the finished work of the cross. If you apply those three principles, you will understand Scripture correctly. Now, unfortunately, everything that I've shared with you so far, as far as how people in Christendom generally understand the issue of faith, and that it is something that they have to work at getting and growing, and then apply to get results, all of that is because things have been taken out of context, like Romans 10:17. Even the writer intended for us to read it in context, because notice how it begins. So then, in other words, there's a greater context. This follows something else that I've said before this. And what I'm about to say is going to continue based on this. That's what he's saying. So we need to read it in context. Don't just remember that verse numberings, chapter numberings were only finalized in the late 1500s. Before that, people read Scripture like we should read it, as a letter, in context. And so, let's do that to understand what Romans 10:17 is about. What was Paul who wrote this, inspired by the Lord. What was he talking about that got him to the point to say, so then, in other words, as a result of everything I've just told you, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let's see what he was talking about. But before we do that, let's read Romans 1, verse 17. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain to you what he is talking about, and then I'm going to show it to you, and then I'm going to show you an example of it in the Bible. So Romans 1, verse 17. Watch what it says here. This is what we ended off with in part 1. It says, for therein, talking about the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now notice, he is talking, the subject here is righteousness, the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of people, of humans, the righteousness of God. Our righteousness is flawed. God's righteousness is pure and perfect. And that's the righteousness that God gives to us in and through Jesus, right? And so he says here, in the gospel, or the gospel, remember those are the parameters of his message, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, which takes you from faith to faith, and then it qualifies that, and it says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So apparently, this has to do with righteousness in Jesus. And that righteousness is revealed, bringing faith and then more faith. Why? Because we live by that righteousness. Notice that last phrase, the just shall live by faith. Question, is that an instruction or is it stating a fact? Which would you say? Sadly, most people take that as an instruction, but it's not. It's an actual fact. It is stating the fact that the just, or the righteous, you could say, or those who have been made righteous in and through Jesus, shall live by faith. It's stating a reality. To help us clarify that, let's read it from the Amplified Translation. It says there, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Watch us now. Both springing from faith and leading to faith. What is that? Righteousness. So when you discover that you can have right standing before God outside of yourself, in and through Jesus, it springs from faith and it also leads to faith. And then watch what it says. Disclosed in a way, in other words, it's revealed and made known to you, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. It doesn't say your faith. It's not talking about your personal faith. It's talking about general faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus, in actual fact. We've studied that last week. And so it awakens more faith, so it brings greater realization to us. Watch us, as it is written and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by faith. So you can see that it is stating a fact. It's not an instruction. Now, to also clarify this, I'm going to show you that last phrase from the Young's Literal translation. Now, the Young's Literal, as you know, is probably one of the most accurate, not only word by word, but also tense by tense. It's even better than the King James, but it's a little hard to understand. That's why most people don't really use the Young's Literal. So I want to show you, and from one of the most accurate English translations we have, not just word by word, but tense by tense, what that phrase actually says. It's on the screen now. It says, and the righteous one by faith shall live. So you can see the whole connection and the context is based on righteousness from God in and through Jesus, and the one who is righteous by faith shall live. So notice, he or she gets the righteousness first, and based on that righteousness and understanding of that righteousness, they are then able to live by faith. And as I've qualified it last week and many other teachings, by the faith of the Lord Jesus. because it took his faith to redeem us, it took his faith to get the promises for us, and it took his faith for us to have it when he died and resurrected for us. Amen. And so you can see from that again that it is stating a fact. It's not an instruction. You see, the fact is that believers live on the basis of faith righteousness. That's what it's saying. That's why it says the just shall live by faith. In other words, believers will live on the basis of faith righteousness. In other words, the emphasis is on the righteousness that they have in Jesus, which then causes faith to come upon them, and they're able to enjoy what God has made available by His grace. Now you may say, well, why is that important for us to understand that? Well, in order to understand Romans 10:17, we need to understand that truth, because that is in essence what Paul is talking about in Romans 10:17. Romans 10, we're going to read verses 1 to 17 to get the context of verse 17. Okay? So notice, he begins here and he says, now stay with me because this is going to clarify it and show it to you. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that's talking about the Jewish people who are still insisting on living under the law, that's beyond the cross, that they might be saved. In other words, that they receive salvation in Jesus. So he says, that's my heart. I really want that to happen amongst the Jewish people. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant, watchers, of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So you can see from this that he is talking about righteousness before God, right standing before God on the basis of Jesus and the finished work of the cross, not on the basis of the law, of our doing, of our performing. And what he is saying here, he says that, you know, my heart is for my people. He's talking about his nation, because he was Jewish himself. He says, my heart is for them, because even though they are zealous for God, they lack knowledge, and they are ignorant of how God makes people right in and through Jesus. And because of that, they are continuing to try and establish their own righteousness, which apparently is futile. And he says, and that's keeping them from actually enjoying the righteousness that they can really enjoy in and through Jesus. Then he says in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So how do we receive this righteousness in Jesus? By simply believing. When we receive salvation in Jesus, we receive the righteousness of Jesus, we receive the righteousness of God, and we are made righteous before God. And that's what he's talking about. So you can see that the greater context here so far is about right standing before God, righteousness in Jesus, basically. Someone who doesn't know how righteousness comes to the believer, well, guess what? They're always going to try and establish their own righteousness before God. And that's what he's trying to get them away from. And he's the reason why he's telling the Romans and us is so that we shift away from that. Because apparently, if we don't understand right standing before God in and through Jesus, it will affect faith in our lives. That's why he's addressing that issue. So let's continue. Verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. Moses referring to the law, because the law was given through Moses. That the man, or you could say the woman, which doth those things shall live by them. In other words, in context, what he is saying is that if you want to establish your own righteousness before God, then you will have to live by it. And how is our own righteousness before God outside of Jesus and the finished work of the cross? It's uncertain, it's ever-changing, and quite honestly, it is futile. And so that's the statement that he's making there. And he is saying, you know, even Moses pointed it out to us, that if we're going to try and do it our way by the law, we're going to have to live by it. And how is it? Not great. We're not going to enjoy great and wonderful faith results in our lives if we do it that way. So then he continues, verse 6. Remember, this is all part of the context. But the righteousness which is of faith. Notice he doesn't say, but the righteousness which is by your faith. No, that's not what he's saying. He said, but the righteousness which is of faith, talking about the faith of Jesus, because it took his faith to make us righteous. That's why he did what he did through the cross. It was his faith at work that made us righteous. That's why he says that. He says, but the righteousness which is of faith, watch this, speaketh on this wise. Say not, notice, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Notice the context, the subject is still righteousness in Jesus, right? The righteousness of Jesus that we have in Jesus says, don't say we need to get Jesus back down or we need to bring Jesus back up to help us out to get righteousness. That's in essence what he's saying. And in actual fact, you'll see that the Passion Translation clarifies that. Watch us now. We're going to read that same portion, 6 and 7, from the Passion. He says, but we receive the faith righteousness. See how this translation puts it correctly? But we receive the faith righteousness that speaks an entirely different message to the law, to righteousness by law. Don't for a moment think you need to climb into the heavens to find the Messiah and bring him down, or to descend into the underworld to bring him up from the dead. In other words, when we don't live by faith righteousness, and we live by our own righteousness, or by legalistic righteousness, or by righteousness by the law, then we're always going to know that there is a lack, that there is a need. And that kind of righteousness, that kind of self-righteousness, that kind of legalistic righteousness is always going to try and get God to do something more to make them righteous. Bring Jesus down so I can get that righteousness. Bring Jesus back up. He needs to do something. He's still doing it for me so that I can be made righteous. And he says, no, faith righteousness in Jesus doesn't work like that. It's not like the law. It is totally different. What faith righteousness says, it is done. It is finished. You're as righteous as you ever need to be, and you will always be for eternity, because your righteousness is not on the basis of your merit or performance. And you know, legalism or mixture of law and grace will tell you that you can lose your righteousness. Well, you can only lose something that you've got. But this righteousness is from God, given to us in and through Jesus by grace. So we can never lose that righteousness. And that's the essence of what he's bringing across here, because it affects how faith works and operates in our lives. That's what he's doing. So notice, he says, faith righteousness says, we don't need anything else. It's done. It is settled. Okay? That's the essence of what he's bringing across here. Now, that also means that we should never entertain thoughts or feelings contrary to that. And how easy it is to do that. How easy it is to, you know, put the focus on us and start questioning ourselves. Well, you know, I wasn't so great. I didn't do that. And start questioning our righteousness before God. That just means that our mind needs to be renewed. And we need to live by that faith righteousness. That's why it's said, the righteous shall live by faith. In other words, the believer must live or needs to live by faith righteousness. This is how he will grow from faith to faith and see results in his or her life. Let's continue reading the context. Verse 8. But what saith it? What is it talking about? Faith righteousness. In other words, what does faith righteousness say? We've just seen that the first thing he said is that faith righteousness says, don't look for anything else. You've got the righteousness you need. But what does it say? It says, the word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So in other words, faith righteousness says, you've got it, you need nothing else, and it is in your mind, it is in your heart, it is in your mouth. All you need to do is just affirm yourself by it, live by it, because that's the word of faith, and we heard it from them preaching. Verse 9, that then he goes on and he says this, just to qualify that. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So he's talking about salvation, but in the context of faith righteousness, because that's how it comes to us. For with the heart Man believeth unto righteousness. There it is. The context is all righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation through that righteousness. For the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him, not the law, not their merits and performance, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Gentile. In other words, those who were under law and those who are under grace or are receiving salvation in Jesus. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he's giving us the assurance of grace, salvation by grace through faith. But notice, it is still in the context of righteousness, specifically faith righteousness. I want to read that same portion we've just read from the Passion Translation. It will help us understand even clearer and better what he just said. Okay? So let's read that from the Passion Translation. But the faith righteousness we receive, see that? Speaks to us in these words of Moses. In other words, even Moses under the law revealed true faith righteousness to us beyond the cross. Watch what it says. God's living message is very close to you, as close as your own heart beating in your chest and as near as the tongue in your mouth. In other words, it's not far away. It is right there for you. And what is God's living message? It is the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. Why? Because you believe in that faith righteousness. The heart that believes in him, watch it, receives the gift of the righteousness of God. And then the mouth gives thanks to salvation. For the scriptures encourage us with these words. Everyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. Talking about righteousness, faith righteousness. In other words, if you put your total trust and confidence in having right standing before God on the basis of Jesus and the finished work of the cross, you will never be disappointed. It's certain. It's a done thing. It's settled. So you can see that the context is faith righteousness. He says, faith righteousness is what we preach, so stick to it. That's in essence what he said in that portion right there. This is all the context of verse 17. So let's continue with verse 14 now. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Talking about the unbeliever, the lost, the unsaved. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Notice the context still faith righteousness. So in other words, the key message, the key of the gospel is for people to hear about righteousness in Jesus, faith righteousness. And he says, this is what they need to believe. This is why we need to send someone. This is why someone needs to be there preaching what we are hearing today. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Peace because of faith righteousness, and bring glad tidings of good things. In other words, I can expect good from God. Why? Because of faith righteousness, because that's the context. For Isaiah said, now he's going to quote Isaiah, Lord, who hath believed our report? Our report about what? Faith righteousness. He says, who shall believe? Who hath believed our report? Verse 17, and here it is. So then, in other words, a result of all that I've just said about faith righteousness, faith for what? Faith righteousness cometh by hearing about faith righteousness and hearing by the word of God, or you could say by the word of faith righteousness in Jesus. And I'm going to prove that to you in a moment. So notice the whole context, the whole subject here is about faith righteousness, receiving right standing before God on the basis of Jesus and the finished work of the cross, not on the basis of the law, not on the basis of what we do or what we don't do. And according to what everything that he shared here, he is saying that if someone is settled in their righteousness in Jesus, then faith will be at work in their lives. Or let me put it like I said it earlier, faith will come upon them. faith will happen to them because they are settled in faith righteousness. Are you hearing me today? It is an awesome truth. Praise God. Now, who's the they that Isaiah is talking about? You know, where he says, but they have not obeyed the gospel. Who is he talking about? He's talking about those who refuse faith righteousness, because remember, that's who Paul was speaking about in the beginning in verse 1. He says, those who refuse faith righteousness and insist on their own righteousness. In other words, even the prophet Isaiah prophesied, and he says, there's going to come a time when there will be those who will insist on holding on to their own way of trying to get right with God, and they are not going to obey the gospel, because the gospel says, lay that aside and receive righteousness in Jesus, which is faith righteousness, because then that righteousness will cause faith to come on you, will cause faith to happen to you. That's why it's called faith righteousness, because righteousness and understanding that righteousness releases the faith of Jesus, the faith in your life, which causes things to happen in your life. Praise God. Let's have a look at it again. Let me qualify that last phrase as I said I would. In Romans 10, 17. Here it is again. It's coming up. Remember, it said, so then, faith cometh by hearing. That's faith righteousness. Comes by hearing about faith righteousness. And hearing by the word of God. Or hearing by about the faith righteousness in Jesus. Well, that word, that sounds weird. That word that you see there. I want to show it to you from the original, what it actually means from the original language. And I'm going to use the Helps Word Studies lexicon. Okay, so here it is here now. This is the word, by the word of God. All right, it's the word 4487 from the original Greek. And notice, it is the word rhema. It is not the word logos. So anyone who says, you see, faith comes by hearing the word, meditating on the word of God, getting into your Bible, reading your Bible. They're talking about the written word. They're talking about the logos word. And apparently, in the context that we've just seen, that's not what Paul was talking about. He was talking about the rhema. That's the spoken, the preached, the taught word of God, like we are today. So then faith righteousness comes by hearing about faith righteousness and hearing by the spoken, the taught, the preached word of God. Now let's carry on reading the whole meaning. So it's the word rhema, it's not logos. So let's have a look. From 4483, which is rheo, which means to speak, a spoken word made by the living voice. So it is clearly spoken, it's not written. Spoken word is commonly used in the New Testament for the Lord speaking his dynamic living word in a believer to in-birth faith. So it is the preached word, it is the taught word which causes faith to rise. Or let me put it the way I said it earlier, which causes faith to come upon the person, which causes faith to happen to you because you are hearing about faith righteousness. Faith righteousness that comes to you in and through Jesus. And in actual fact, this lexicon talks about Romans 10, 17 specifically in that sense. So let's carry on reading. Romans 10, 17. So faith proceeds from spiritual hearing. Moreover, this hearing is consummated through a rhema word, watch this, from Christ. And they say the Greek text says that. So even in translating it, they should have said, by the rhema word of Christ, instead of saying the word of God. So to rephrase that verse, it would sound something like this. So then faith righteousness comes by hearing about faith righteousness and hearing by the spoken, the preached, the taught word of Jesus and the finished work of the cross. You could put it that way. And it lines up with the context of what we've read earlier and what Paul was saying. Isn't that so? So then faith comes by hearing the preaching about faith righteousness in Jesus. That's another simpler way of putting that. Let me say it again. So then faith comes by hearing the preaching about faith righteousness in Jesus. So you can see from this that faith, based on Romans 10:17 and understanding the context now, you can see from this that faith only comes by hearing this specific message, which is what? Faith, righteousness. Righteousness in and through Jesus and the finished work of the cross. That's how faith comes. That's how faith happens to you. All right, so I've shown that to you. Hopefully it's made sense and it's given you a greater revelation here. But just in case, let me show you an example of what I've shared with you in action in the Bible. Now you're about to see someone who's going to hear the preaching about Jesus, specifically faith righteousness, righteousness in Jesus, which is going to cause faith to happen to them. And they receive their miracle. Watch us. Acts 13, verse 38 and 39. First, we're going to see what Paul was preaching in this time, because it's all in the context, as you'll see. So watch what he's preaching. He says, "Brothers, listen, we are here to proclaim that through this man Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him," watch us, "is made right in God's sight. Something the law of Moses could never do." So as you can see, Paul, around this time, as he was traveling, was clearly preaching about salvation in Jesus and saying that if you believe in him, or those who believe in him, they are made right in God's sight. What is he talking about? What is he preaching? He's preaching faith righteousness. Why? Because understanding that righteousness, living by the righteousness, and embracing that righteousness will cause faith to happen to you, will cause faith to come upon you. That's why he's preaching this. Now watch us. All in the next chapter, which is all part of the same journey here, watch us. So I wanted to show you that he's preaching faith righteousness. Now, watch us. Acts 14, verse 7 to 10 from the New Living. "And there they preached the good news." Now you know what the good news is that he was preaching. Salvation in Jesus and faith righteousness. "While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached." I want you to imagine that in your mind. Use your imagination. Well, see Paul and Barnabas. And here they are, and Paul is preaching. And this man is crippled from birth. He has never in his entire life walked. He doesn't know how to use his legs and feet. And yet he's listening to the preaching. And guess what Paul is preaching? Faith, righteousness. Salvation and redemption in Jesus and righteousness in and through Jesus. Faith, righteousness. Righteousness that is going to bring faith, release faith, and cause faith to come upon the man. Right? So he's listening as Paul preached. Watch this. "Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed." Question, how did that faith come upon that man? He listened to the preaching. What preaching? Preaching about salvation in Jesus and righteousness in Jesus. Faith, righteousness. And then Paul could actually see, he could perceive that faith had come upon this man because he heard this wonderful good news that now he can live by this righteous man can live by faith. He got it. That's the point. Watch us now in verse 10. "So Paul called to him with a loud voice, 'Stand up.' And the man jumped to his feet and started walking." He had never walked. He was born that way. No one taught him to walk. But supernaturally, by the power of God, he stood up and he began to walk without having to be taught, without therapy, without anything like that. He began to walk right away. What a wonderful miracle. And look at how it happened. Paul was preaching the gospel, salvation in Jesus and righteousness in Jesus, faith righteousness. The man listened carefully and he realized, oh my goodness, I can have righteousness in this man Jesus who did it for me. And therefore I have right standing before God. And because I have right standing before God, which is unchanging, unwavering, it's not based on my performance, I can walk, I can be healed. And when Paul saw that faith had come upon that man, that faith happened to him, He just simply spoke out, and the man responded and stood up. Can you see that? Paul was preaching about Jesus and the finished work of the cross. He was preaching faith righteousness. I know I keep saying that because you've seen the context and what I shared earlier as far as Romans 10:17 goes. So hearing that, faith came upon the man and he was miraculously healed. Can you see how faith happened to him when he heard about Jesus, when he heard about faith righteousness? When he heard about righteousness, faith came upon him. That's why it is faith righteousness. That's why it's called that. And so notice the other thing too. Paul didn't preach about healing. He wasn't doing a sermon series on healing, how to receive your healing, how to retain your healing, and how to fight for your healing. He didn't do that because it wasn't necessary. He wasn't even talking about healing in his sermon. He was preaching the gospel about salvation in Jesus and righteousness, faith righteousness. And that caused faith to come upon the man. Faith happened to him and he saw his miracle. Amen. Faith to be healed did not come by preaching on healing. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. But what I am saying is that when we specialize in those areas, what we're really doing is we're saying we don't understand faith righteousness. That's what we're going to try and make it happen our way now. So let me teach you how to get faith for healing, how to use your faith for healing, and hopefully get results for healing. That's all legalistic, as you can see. I know that I'm treading on some things here, but I hope you're hearing my heart. You can see from this that faith to be healed did not come from Paul preaching on healing, but on preaching the good news of faith righteousness in Jesus. That's how faith came. Do you see that? Amen. So at the end of the day, what do we see here? True biblical faith is not you doing something in order to get God to do something for you. No, it is you putting your total confidence and trust in the righteousness that you have in Jesus. And when you are in that place, when you do that, faith happens to you. Faith comes. Faith comes upon you and you receive your miracle. When you see how good God has been in making you righteous outside of your merits and performance, and you're doing and you're not doing, that surely gives you confidence to know, no matter what I need, no matter what is going on, my God performs that miracle now. Amen. What powerful words. When you discover what God has done for you in and through Jesus, faith happens to you. Faith comes upon you. And that is how faith actually comes.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry, or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.